great to have all of you on the telephone. We'll be going live in just a few moments with the broadcast on the video. If you have any questions tonight, we're going to talk about a really rubber-meet-the-road kind of conversation about living in the now, and there may be some questions that come up, and if there are and you'd like us to address them tonight on the broadcast, text them to 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181, and we'll do our very best to address those questions during the broadcast. So bear with us just for a few more moments, and we'll be ready to start. We are live on the telephone and on our video tonight for our Tuesday night celebration of life, and we're so glad that you're here tonight. This is going to be a fun conversation. I'm going to do my very best to take you into, well, it's a little complicated. It's a little difficult. This is a difficult place to be, and I want you to have a pen and a paper ready so that you can take copious notes, so that we can start to apply these principles in our lives, because nothing really changes until we change. Stan McCormick, my friend, says this all the time. And this is a place where we're going to want to make some very specific changes. This is like the pivotal moment where we either are or are not going to be intentionally creating our life. Everything so far has been ideas. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the night. So if you're here for the first time and you're a guest, thank you for coming, and we welcome you. We hope that you come back often to be with us. Those of you here with on a regular basis, we want to welcome you tonight as well. Well, Ramona and I just got back Saturday night from an amazing experience. Right after last Tuesday night's call, we loaded up the car and went up to the cabin, and I spent 4 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, writing to finish up the book. I've got just a little bit more polishing to do on the final chapter, and the book is ready to go to the editor. Now, we're going to do something very special. I want to make this offer to those of you who are on the call tonight. On Wednesday afternoon, Thursday morning, right around that time, we're going to send the chapters of this book to people who would like to participate in a very special process. Here it is. We want to make sure that we have eliminated every typo possible and that there aren't any places in the book that are unclear. And so we're going to invite those who would like to participate. Now, the deadline is Monday morning. This needs to be back on my desk Monday morning. I'm going to send you the chapters for your eyes only. These are copyrighted materials. I need you to protect them with all of your energy. This is an opportunity for you to get in and see what this book is going to look like and take a look at these chapters. We're going to ask you to listen to read them with tracking changes on, so any typos you see, we'll be able to pick them up very quickly as we go through the document. We would like to clean up all of those pieces. We'd like to have our friends, those who are closest to us, who are participating on these coaching calls, those who would like to, those who have the time, Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, to read this and get back to us by Monday. Because Monday I'll be making the final changes and then sending it to our editor and to my agent. We'd love to have you participate. And I do hope those of you who do will be able to report back to us a really precious experience. I must tell you that those 4 days I spent at the cabin, Ramona's right here with me, so she knows this is true. 4 in the morning till late in the evening, just pouring over these principles to do everything we can to make them so clear that they can be implemented in our lives. So if you'd like to participate, this is what you do. Send me an email, that's the website, Dave, D-A-V-E, Dave, at augmandino.com, Dave at augmandino.com. Subject line, I'm in. That's all you got to say, I'm in. We'll put you in a separate file, and as soon as everything is finalized, we will send you the copies and turn you loose to have an opportunity to just feast on these principles, Aug's words and the principles of intentional creation. So welcome, and thank you for participating if that's something that you're able to do this weekend. Well, tonight we're going to talk about physical creation. A couple things that we'll want to understand absolutely clearly. And that is that creation occurs in two very different dimensions. And both of them are critical to the process. The first that we've talked about over the last 2 weeks, mental creation. In mental creation, we can use our thought processes destructively, over there on that left-hand side, where we would fantasize. That means we skip to a time in the future when we are successful or out of debt, no more pain, no more stress, and then begin living vividly what it's going to be like. We won't rehearse tonight all the challenges that are created, but they drive us right into the second challenge, which is imagined catastrophe, where we're in those dungeons of despair and discouragement, overwhelmed and frustrated. A place that so many are spending time today as evidence that we have created unrealistic expectations about what life is like. We have, at the very core, this word, ease, E-A-S-E. We all have this struggle. Ramon and I had a wonderful coaching session with our four daughters this afternoon. We were talking about this very topic, that sometimes it feels like life is just a grind. But one daughter say, well, that's because we're being polished, you know, like diamonds. Oh, what a great perspective. But life can be a grind because it's not stacking up to our expectations. That generally means that we have been engaged in fantasy. If we're in discouragement, despair, there's something about our current life that is not stacking up to the way we thought it should be. Well, our invitation is to take a look at how we're using our mind to create those expectations. And we explored those the last 2 weeks. Mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, problem solving, planning, goal setting. Ways in which we can use our mind to get a very clear vision of the possibilities, what it is we want to create. We have now seen it. We have now, all in the future, figured out what needs to be done in the next year, the next quarter, the next month, the next week, the next day. We know as we prepare to take on this next quality, physical creation, why we're here as we create these millimeters. But this doesn't make any sense if we've been using our mind destructively in fantasy, seeking ease. Now, it's understandable why we might. I mean, there's just a lot of pain in the world right now, a lot of frustration, and a lot of it not of our own making. Some of the wars, the costs, the loss of jobs, the home equity dropping dramatically, some really serious challenges that add to this problem. It's no wonder we would want to get away from it. But trying to get away from it doesn't change it. It just frustrates us because it is what it is. Yes, we might have to work twice as hard to make half as much today compared to 2 years ago. But compared to today, we're doing precisely what's required in today's market to generate the revenue that we're making. This is a very hard concept for some to embrace because we want to hang on to that past. We want to hang on to how it used to be. Oh, we vividly remember this. When Ramon and I took our tremendous loss in 1988 and 89, that was the hardest thing to deal with, the fact the rules had changed. There were new rules, and we didn't get to vote. Matter of fact, that's the second chapter of the book. I've dedicated a chapter to this very topic so that we can take a good look at what it is we have secretly and privately desired. Because if we have desired ease, our mental creation cannot, and here's the crux, cannot produce the passion needed to do the work of physical creation. It's hard enough with passion. it may be nearly impossible without it. So if we spend this tremendous gift we have of vivid visualization going into our mind to create that which is related to ease, to escaping, to avoiding, that will only create discouragement when it doesn't show up. We're trying to get away from. What we'll want to decide tonight is this, at a very simple level. Let's make the decision tonight that we are going to engage in life. Can you feel it? Engage in life. Embrace these principles. Focus on connecting with people. Creating value everywhere we go. Contributing to the world. So that our life matters. We're put on this planet to be a giver, not a taker. To enrich the world. Let us be engaged in the process of enriching the world. We'd love to hide out. And when we do, like no other time in the last several decades, we're going to be beat up by the baseball bat of life. I want you to see the visual. It's awful. We're going to suffer those bruises of failure and those wounds of mediocrity. This is when we try to escape and avoid and want ease, because ease does not exist on this planet. It doesn't exist. There's no such place. We can spend a lifetime seeking it, and while seeking it, be beat up by that baseball bat of life. So the option is get beat up or get engaged. And that's the invitation. Because when we engage, then we're going to use this gift of vivid visualization to mentally rehearse, seek inspiration, exploration, problem solving, planning, goal setting. And when we engage in this exercise with the intent, this is the key, not to escape, not to avoid, not for ease, but to bless the lives of other people, to create value, when that's our desire, the promise is that we will be given inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. I reference this in the book as being in a state of flow. Bruce Jackson, a former client who's now the director of the Center for Leadership at Utah Valley University, wrote his doctoral dissertation on this topic. Flow is when we seem to connect with this force of creation beyond this planet. It's like we've been given permission to enter what I call the celestial library and receive a download of wisdom. It's not ours. It's not us. It's from something beyond us. When we seek to bless the lives of other people and create value to enrich the world, we will receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. And what we know is this. When they come, and we've all had one of these moments where we went, oh, yeah, we just saw the possibility. This is exciting. As I mentioned to you the last 2 weeks, if you were wired to a functional MRI, we would see parts of your brain light up that you normally don't use. Our passion is ignited. And again, absent this passion, the work required to intentionally create today is nearly impossible. That work just becomes burdensome and boring and mundane and repetitious. It's painful. Who would want to do that? But ignited by passion, from a clear vision of possibility, we can engage in physical creation. And when we do, two miraculous things happen. Miraculous things happen. One, when we fully maximize the gifts we've been given, the clay we've been given, and we'll go into more detail about this when we get to self-esteem. That is, we accept what is. We're not giving up. We're not acquiescing. We're not saying, oh, is that it? No, we're taking what is and bringing all of those gifts that we have, and we are going to create as much as we possibly can with what we've been given. Can you feel that energy? I'm going to take what I've got and create the most I can with what I have. And when we make this choice, that same power that manifests an inspired idea, an impression, or a solution to problems, that which is manifest in mental creation, now begins to participate in the physical creation of that which we've seen so clearly in our mind and desire with all of our intention to create in physical reality. When this occurs, that force of creation I call God now endows us with even more ability. If we don't like what we've had, maximize it fully and you'll be given more. But why would you receive a greater gift if we are not grateful for the one we do have already? Now, this brings up a principle called procrastination. I don't know if there's anybody on the phone or on our webcast tonight who is totally immune to not procrastinating. That's probably an awkward way to make a sentence. Huh? We all procrastinate at some level. And August told us that my procrastination is born of fear. Really? Yes, and it's held me back. And he says, I've learned this secret, which I'll mention in a moment. He said, I've learned this secret, mind from the depths of all courageous hearts, cor, heart, French for heart, for blood. Heart of hearts. When you go into the heart of hearts of a very brave person, courageous person, you find the same message in every one of them. Every one of them. That to remove the flutters in my heart, I must act without hesitation. That only action reduces that lion of terror to an ant of equanimity. A peace of mind. Now, something interesting happens when we procrastinate. There is so much noise going on in our heads. I just want you to take and consider something right now in your life that you've been putting off. What is it? Is it cleaning the garage? Is it a tax return? What might it be? Your taxes are due on Monday, I believe, now, and or Tuesday, I think it is. Tuesday because of a holiday on Monday. In the district of Washington, D.C. So here we are. We got this tax return. We put it off to the last minute. What are we going to do? What might it be for you? Just picture that thing, whatever it is, that big ugly sitting out there. And think about how many times you've walked by that stack of papers or that dirty closet or that something. And you've said something like, you know, I'm going to do that on the weekend when I've got more time. And how many weekends have gone by where something else came up and we didn't have enough time? The fear is we don't have time. Some of those tasks we might fear that we don't have the ability or we can't do it perfectly. Can you hear the noise? All the conversation going on. And then when you don't do it, does anybody on the phone or on the video broadcast tonight ever have that anxiety that, oh, you start beating yourself up and you're carrying this obligation on your back incomplete? Then all of a sudden, the deadline is screaming louder than the noise in our head, and we finally shut off the noise in our head and jump in to do the task. Everybody's on mute, but shout it out. When we jump in and take on that task and we get it done, what's the first thing we say? What do we say? Wow! That wasn't so hard. Wow! Why did I wait so long? And we just met our genius. That's when we are most genuine. When we finally shut off the noise and jump in and do the task, and we are surprised by the capacity that shows up. We might even have excuses. Oh, if they knew how little effort I put into it, they wouldn't really appreciate what I've done. Instead of, what an enormous capacity showed up, that in such a short period of time I could do something so complete. This is our genius showing up. In physical creation, we will want to get to a place in time where our genius is showing up all of the time. That's where we live. I'll give you some things tonight to assist with that. But when we do, then and only then are we endowed with even more ability. The second thing that happens in physical creation is that the same force of creation puts people on our paths. People who we can serve and people who can serve us. I watched this tender mercy last week while I was writing. I watched it yesterday when I responded to the constructive way of thinking. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Somebody called in need. I said, drive up here to the house. Let's visit right now. He came up. I was showing up to serve him. Before it was over, he unlocked a door to a critical element of our business plan. I knew it would get unlocked. Didn't know how, but he did. He did. We have spent quite some time since yesterday talking. We'll be meeting again tomorrow night. When we are in action, and our intention is to serve people and add value, create value, to enrich the world, we can expect to have people put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. Well, if we understand this clearly before we go into how to actually do this, let's make sure that it's clear in our minds that there is a power that does manifest. Vivid visualization is used in mental creation. Mental creation manifests ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. It does not and never will manifest tangible reality. That is a lie. And those who have pursued that lie have become increasingly broke and broken and angry, bitter, frustrated. Why is it not happening? Because it can't happen. That's not how it works. Mental creation is to get a clear vision that ignites our passion. Then we go into the second stage of creation, physical creation. And we bring that passion here and that clear vision, determined to create that thing in tangible reality. And we are then again blessed with more ability when we fully use what we've been given. And people are put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. And we make things happen as fast as they can happen. information at its fastest pace possible. So we got the overview. Because now we want to talk about, okay, here I am in this moment. Am I going to choose ease? Or am I going to choose engagement? I'm going to choose engagement. Okay, start using my mind constructively. Ooh, I've got an idea. Passion-driven. Now I'm going to take you to the morning. We wake up. It's a new day. It's a new day. Og tells us that one of the cruel tricks of nature is that we wake up every morning in a different mood. We understand that more today than he did in 1968. And neuroscience was embryonic. It wasn't even in its infancy. It wasn't even born yet. And now we know Candace Peart's work at the National Institute for Health and her book Molecules of Emotion. We know that when we think, the body releases neuropeptides and ligands. You don't need to remember that. It's just molecules of emotion. The thought releases a chemical. The chemical goes into the body, communicates to the cells, and we feel. We feel. We feel ill. We feel sick. We feel happy. We feel frustrated. We feel because of the chemical communication to the cells of our body, chemicals which were driven by our thoughts. So Og says to us, weak is he who allows his thoughts to control his actions, which with what we now know, we can fill in the blanks, who allows his thoughts to drive chemicals that cause feelings that cause actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. We get to fill in the blank. Actions to create different thoughts, to create different chemicals, and to feel differently. Yes. Now, if you've got the swine flu, we're talking about a little different situation. This is talking about waking up in the morning going, oh, I don't feel like getting up, or I feel frustrated, or I feel a little angry or ticked off. That's what we're talking about. You have the choice to choose to take the action of thinking differently, releasing different chemicals, and at a cellular level, feeling differently. I'm about to sneeze. Wow. Got a little bit of a cold. I'm sorry. Now, with this in mind, the very first thing we're going to want to do when we wake up in tangible reality is have a gut check. What is going on this morning? Who's in charge? This decision may be the single most important decision you will make in the day because it will govern how you feel the rest of the day. And if we want the day to be a success, we're going to want to be happy. Oh, that's a bunch of junk, Dave. I can't just choose to be happy. Yes, you can. It is neurologically, it is chemically, it is physiologically an absolute. You can choose how you feel. Because when you consciously change the thought, you consciously change the chemicals. You consciously change the way we feel. Now we know that. The very first thing we want to do in the morning is get in charge of these thoughts. One of my daughters made a comment today. She said, when I have a bad dream, I wake up in a bad mood. That's true. Our body's been physically impacted by that experience. Even more the reason to be conscious. Now what we want to do, a very simple process, is take out a 3x5 card and write on the 3x5 card, I, in quotation marks, I, that's the real me, I want to. And then you can fill in the blank. I want to go to the office. I want to get up with the children. I want to. I, quotation marks, get to. I, in quotation marks, choose to. I want to. I get to. I choose to. Now, you probably won't hear that on the first round as you're taking this 3x5 card off your end table and you're looking at it and reading it and going, I want to, I get to, I choose to, I want to, I get to, I choose to. One of my favorite times is watching Ramona lying next to me with a pillow over her head, screaming into the pillow, I want to, I get to, I choose to. It's waking up. You, I, the real person, I am in charge of my life today, not these thought processes. I am, I choose to be. Then add this to your card. This is my favorite phrase for mine. I will command, so scroll number 9, I will act now. I will command, and I will obey my own command. I will command, I'll command. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. I will command, and I will obey my own command. This is my life. These are my thoughts. I'll be in control of them. Can you feel it? Making that decision in the morning. Now, you got to kind of loosen up a little bit and have some fun with this. I can envision some of you in the morning jumping up and down on your bed. I want to, I get to, I choose to. So you can feel it awaken your soul. Now we get up in the morning and we feed our mind something positive. I'm going to recommend this week that you feed it scroll number 5. I will live this day as if it is my last. This isn't the last day you'll most likely be on the planet. I mean, this isn't, you know, if you're going to die, you probably do something different. This is the last day you get this day. It's going to be gone. You want to seal up its container of life. You want to do everything you possibly can to create the millimeters between where you are and the clear vision you've seen. Take what you've been given and create the most you can with it. That's what you're going to want to do. And this scroll will prepare you. This is a powerful scroll. This is about 1 o'clock in the morning the night Og wrote the scrolls. Can I take back the words that were spoken, the blows that were struck, the pain that was caused? He'd lost his first wife and daughter to his alcoholism. He had haunting memories, shame. So I'll remember them no more. Just, I've got to let that go. Then he gives us such sage wisdom for today. Will I try to do tomorrow's work while standing in today's path? What that means is, here we are Tuesday night, I'm exhausted based on what I've got to do on Friday. But I'm standing in Tuesday. Why am I exhausted about Friday? I'm in Tuesday. Should I try to put tomorrow's gold in today's purse? That's fantasy. Should I torment myself over things that I may never witness? If I do, I'm going to create a self-fulfilling prophecy. No, not going there today. I am staying in creation. I want to know whatever happens, I have done everything I could do. And when I've done that, I know that there's a power who has partnered with me and has assisted me, and it is good as it can be, and I need not worry. We feel that. Scroll 5. Now you want to take a look at what you've got on your calendar for the day. Because quite often, we can fill our day with all kinds of busy work. And there are no trophies for being busy. This is about results. This is about taking what we've been given and creating the most we can with it. We're going to want to get really clear. Why am I here? So write down that question. Why am I here? We want to look up and we want to see. I share the story of Peter Daggett and Peter Vidmar. Peter was up at Deer Valley with us in July of 09 when Kevin Hall was getting ready to release his new book, Aspire, and his agent was there, and the publisher was there, and several of his close friends. We each took turns sharing and what we could do to help promote this amazing book. And when it was Peter's turn, Peter taught us just age 11 through 23. He worked out 5 hours a day. 5 hours. 6 days a week. Took Sundays off. And he said, in those 12 years, I only remember 30 other days that I took off. In 12 years. Imagine. And he said, we would go through the floor exercises and we would finish with the parallel bars. The last event in the Olympics. And they would stand in that practice venue, and Peter would turn to Tim and say, why are we here? Tim would smile, he knew. Tim would say, Peter, why are we here? And Peter would smile, because he knew. And then they turned in their mind, vivid visualization, that practice venue into the Olympic venue. They took turns being the judge, took turns performing their routine. He told us that night, practice makes permanent, significant. And then he emphasized this point. I thought it was interesting, because I don't know that I had this discipline. Oh my goodness, this is incredible. He said, never once did our mind go beyond this moment in time. We did not go to the gold medal ceremony, the flag being raised, the anthem, the limousines, the Learjets, because none of that mattered. It was all contingent on this event. And everything between where they were in those 11 years and that event, all of that was in the future still. And so each day they practiced until they made this permanent as they stepped one step closer to 1984 and the Olympic Games. And they got down to the last floor exercise, and the last two people to perform were Tim and Peter. If they performed a near-perfect routine, the United States gold medal would be theirs. The U.S. Olympic team would beat the Republic of China for the first time since 1904. Peter said they had the javelin back then. Can you imagine? A long time ago. The U.S. team would win the gold. Well, Tim was the first to go. And when he landed his dismount, it was clear. The score reflected it. He got a perfect 10. That was Peter's turn. He said his coach walked up to him and simply said, Peter, do this the same way you've done it 1,000 times in practice, and then let's just go home. Peter did an amazing performance, landed it perfectly, and the rest of it's in the record books. The gold medal was theirs. Why are we here? If our why is about escaping and avoiding, it will not support this vision. If we want ease, it will not support this moment. This moment is where we have used our mind constructively and we have seen possibilities with a hunger to create intangible reality, that which we've seen so clearly in our mind. We did not go there to get away from it. We went there to get clear about what we're going to do and why. Why we're doing it. Why am I here? I'm here to create that. Reignite our passion. This can't happen if our dream is about ease and escape. That's why I said first thing tonight, this is the pivotal moment. This is where the rubber meets the road. Tonight is the night we make the decision to engage. Because facing these moments will either be a grind. It will be difficult, boring, mundane, repetitious, painful. Or we will have our passion ignited as we prepare to take on the task. Simple. Question one, why am I here? Question two, what does this have to do with me getting there? What does this have to do with me getting there? Am I just filling my time? Am I just being busy? Is there something meaningful about what I'm about to do? And don't discount spending time with children, taking long walks with your love, holding each other at night. Those have everything to do with creating a partnership and a family. We just want to make sure that what we're about to do matters. It's bringing us one step closer to our reason why that we're here. Now we take a look at that list. We're going to have some wonderful things on there. And we're going to want to identify then the first three, not in order, but the three that are the most important. We might seek a little guidance regarding which moments in this day really are the most important. And we're going to designate those as very special times. When I was writing week before last, I was writing on this very topic. The Sunday afternoon, the idea of power sessions came. I'd be reflecting on scroll number four and a very special phrase in that scroll. I didn't quite understand it, and I just knew I wasn't present. I knew my body was always present. It was there when I woke up. It was there when I went to sleep. It was there when I ate. If I was unconscious in a hospital bed, it was still there. My body was always there. Where in the heck was my mind? As I pondered, more so than ever before, it became clear that my mind was either in the past, lamenting past mistakes and frustrations and hurts, or it was in the future, tormenting myself over what might happen, or fantasizing. But rarely, rarely was my mind in the same place as my body. What could we do? And the idea came. I called it then and we call it now, power sessions. These three important moments during the day. The decision was made that night that starting the next day, I would choose those three events and I would show up, mind and body. That's a power session. Totally present, completely there, focusing on stepping into someone's world, taking down their walls of resistance, creating a safe place, using my mind constructively. That's being present. Present and getting clear, igniting parts of my brain. That's very physical. Present. Those three times, I was going to be absolutely present and pour all of me into that moment. That was the decision. Well, I remember being pretty excited. Got up the next morning, and oh my goodness, I thought I'd taken on, I was going to name an army, but I should probably be careful not to. I thought I was in war. It was difficult to pick them, and it was difficult to do them. I'm going, wow, am I the only one that would have this kind of a problem sticking to this planned power session? It's only an hour long. Can't I stay present, mind and body, for 1 hour? Did it. Did the next one. Did the next one. Midday, read scroll number 9. Have you do that this week as well. Scroll number 9, I will act now. You'll start to hear the words in the middle of the day. I'll act now. I don't feel like it. Act now. I don't want to. Act now. Okay, I'll do it. We start talking to ourselves. Act now. It awakens something in our spirit. You do the second power session. And then the third power session. Then when the day is over, journal what happened during those three sessions that may not have happened if we were not that conscious? What happened that may not have happened if we weren't totally present, mind and body connected? I started to notice in a few days that there were miracles occurring. Miracles. Ooh. This is important. At the end of the week, we made the decision to incorporate it in our coaching. And guess what we discovered? You wake up in the morning, read scroll 5, pick 3 really important things, start mentally rehearsing, preparing, executing, read scroll 9 at noon, finish the last 2, journal what happened, read scroll 7. I mentioned that a moment ago, scroll 7. I will laugh at the world because some things don't go the way we plan when I'll be able to laugh at ourselves. Do it again for 7 days. This is what we discovered. It took nearly a year before a coaching client actually did it. I thought many times over that year, we should back this off and make it easier, maybe just 1 a day. But so many people said, well, after I do the 3, can I do 4 and 5? And I said, just do the three. And the first one did. The first one did it a second week. First week created a miracle. Same thing I experienced. Second week, even a bigger miracle. I said, may I share this with other coaching clients? Certainly. That inspired others to do it. It wasn't just me talking. Now there was somebody else having a miracle. They started having a miracle. The next one started having a miracle. The next one started having a miracle. And my promise to you tonight, if you've got the courage to take on those thought processes, they're going to resist the structure and the order. They're going to fight you. And you stand up and say, I want to, I get to, I choose to, I will command and I will obey my own command. Read scroll 5. Why am I here? Get clear. What's on my to-do list? Here are the 3 most important. These are my power sessions. I bring all of me, mind and body, into that moment. Execute. Scroll 9 at noon. Execute. Journal. You want a journal. It's important so you remember what happened. And then scroll 7. Sleep like a baby. You do that for 7 days between now and next Tuesday night. And I can absolutely promise you a miracle. A miracle. Who couldn't use a miracle? For some, you're going to meet your greatest enemy. Thought processes that we'll be taking on starting next week. That's why it's next. I absolutely want you to resist and resent and rebel anything to do with discipline and structure. Test it this week. Push it to the limit. Do everything you can to experience that miracle. Now, can you imagine if we followed this pattern day in and day out, just 3 times a day for the next year? First week first for a year. We used our mind constructively. We had a why that ignited passion. We knew clearly why we were doing what we were doing each day. And as we fully maximized our gifts, we were given more. As we were in action, people were put on our path who could serve us and who we could serve. The force of creation itself, a partner in creating our why, a partner in speeding up physical creation. A year from now, what will we know? We will know that wherever we are, whatever has happened, it is as good as it could be. And we can have peace of mind no matter what that is. We will know. Just being fully present 3 times a day. Can you imagine what we could create if we were present all the time? Oh my goodness, that's the goal. This exercise is not just for this week. I'm introducing this to you as a way of life. What? Do we want to create our dreams or not? Do you want the miracles in your life? It requires us to be present in the now. The only time we touch the timeline of eternity. The only place where creation, tangible creation, can occur. And the very place where we experience joy in the journey. We get to reach out and touch it because we're here. We're touching it. My invitation to you tonight, don't beat yourself up this week. You might have some challenges with this. Most have. Most. Vast majority. This isn't about beating ourselves up. It's becoming crystal clear about what battles we will want to fight moving forward so that we can, in fact, become intentional creators of our life. So there's the invitation. With all my heart, I want you to know what I've just shared with you is absolutely true. And if you will exercise the faith and courage to try it, you too can know. And it will change the way you live. And it will increase your peace and your joy. And you'll find purpose and meaning in all that you do. That doesn't mean you won't have discouragement. Not going there today, sometimes with blood vessels almost ready to burst in the temples of my forehead. Not going there today. Sog says there will be days when I must constantly fight against forces that would tear me down. Yeah, there will be those days. That's life. But if we want to have joy in creation, I just gave you the pattern. Everything we've learned so far, connecting with people, using our mind constructively, now in mental creation. From here on, we'll explore those things that get in our way of these three things. Discipline and structure, joy in that journey, and ultimately self-esteem. And we'll bring those into alignment so they will support us. Connecting with people, mentally creating, living in the now, in physical creation. Take this on. Scrolls 5, 9, and 7 this week. Drop me an email. DavidOgmandino.com. Let me know what happens. Share with me your stories. Let us be a part of your life. Enjoy this journey. Thanks, everybody.